The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.
It is a beautiful Thursday morning here on The Open Book, Cliff Central. Yes, it always is a beautiful Thursday here on The Open Book, because I kind of say that every single time I'm on the show. But this is why. Why should Thursday not be a beautiful day? Because Friday is literally a day away. I mean, it's tomorrow. And who doesn't like the anticipation of Fridays? No matter how spiritual or unspiritual you are. I know that most of you think that Fridays are the best days, and I can understand. I think Thursdays are actually really the best days. And if you kind of listen to songs, most songs are actually written about Friday. I couldn't find a song. I was trying to find a song on YouTube that I could celebrate this day with, you know, this Thursday. But I found nothing. Only thing I found was it was songs about Friday. There was a Greek one that also had a Saturday in it, celebrating Saturdays. And Monday, the worst day, according to most people. But let me give you two reasons why I think Thursdays are the best days. Here we go. I feel like the weekend starts when the work is over on Thursday. So most people, they don't work effectively on Friday since they are too excited for the weekend. They just want to go home. They don't want to produce anything, which makes it not necessarily a good day, but it becomes more of a zombie day. On the other hand, people are super energetic on Thursdays. So I love Thursdays. And what's more, everybody sleeps super happy on Thursday evening because Friday is literally a few hours away. So even if like the world had to end on a Thursday, at least people slept with, you know, people slept with the happy heart, knowing that, you know, there was a better day that was coming, although it's not really the best day. And so here's the number two reason, and I think this is probably one directed more towards the ladies, why I think Thursdays are the best days. Here you go, ladies. If you like shopping, it's your last chance before weekend shopping madness. Come on now. So get those monies, and for those of you who can be celebrating Easter, go today. Don't go tomorrow, because as you know, especially for those of you who live in Johannesburg and love to shop in Sandton, you know how Sandton gets like on Saturdays. So rather go today, the best day, which is Thursday. So also just another word to songwriters. I think, please, man, guys, we need to write more songs. I'm talking so much rubbish. Do me a favor and just go and write more songs about Thursdays, in the words of Philip Rickinton, who once said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. So what did she say again? So let us sing of it." She said it, you know, that's the future American president, you know, leader of the free world. Well, so they say. We don't know. I'd like to hear what I should probably go and ask Donald Trump. What do you, sir, think about Thursdays? Give us a quote. But, and I have to admit it strongly, there is one Friday that beats any other Thursday by far for being the best day in the year. Best day in the year. And no, it's not Christmas, because Christmas can actually fall on any time of the week. Just like your birthday could fall on any day of the week. The best day of the week, which only occurs once in a year, is this one right here. It is Good Friday. Good Friday, also known as Holy Friday, is the Friday immediately preceding Easter Sunday. It is celebrated by Christians all over the world as the day on which Jesus was crucified. But why is Good Friday referred to as good? Huh? Why is it referred to as good? I mean, after all, the Jewish authorities and the Romans, what they did to Jesus on Good Friday was definitely not good. But however, the results of Christ's death are very good for us Christians. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And then 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 tells us that, "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." So in other words, you know, as Christ died and he rose again, the same power that resides in him is the same resurrection power that resides in us. That is why we celebrate and we call it Good Friday. But do we actually know the origins of Easter? Because when You know, if you go and read the Bible, you never see any of the disciples celebrating Easter, or actually even calling it this day Easter. And so, like Halloween, because I had a show on Halloween called The Truth About Halloween a few weeks ago. Is it even right for us to celebrate Easter? And also, one of the questions we're going to be answering today is, what is the true meaning of Easter? So you will get all these answers and even, you know, and answers to more questions on today's show as we explore the topic. And here is our topic. Our topic is the truth about Easter. I have some awesome guests with me here in studio. I've got Adrian Ruiz. Adrian is, I've got to roll the R, Evieta. And Adrian is al die pad van Pretoria, all the way from Pretoria, where they roll their R's. We've got Adrian Ruiz from the Pagan Council. So he's going to be telling us about, about the pagan origins of Easter, because when I was reading through, I kind of saw that there were actually some of those. And I've also got Pastor Gary Rivers. He doesn't like to be called pastor, although he's actually even more than a pastor. He's like bishop. He's the pastor of pastors, Gary Rivers, all the way from Grace Point, and he's going to be speaking to us also about the truth about about Easter. And also in studio with me, and I'm really also very, very excited about this guest, I have Mark Cunningham.
I'm close enough.
Yeah. Mark Cunningham. I never know how to say your surname because I only call you by your name.
Neither do I, really.
How do we say it?
It's got Irish origins. So I suppose it's meant to sound like Conahan.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day
to you.
Hello.
Very special.
Weren't you wearing green today?
I should be
wearing green. No.
So Mark. We struggle to pronounce it in this country, but it's okay.
So Mark is a worship pastor at Bryanston Bible Church, and he's also the coordinator. That's who I actually met him, coordinator for Worship Central South Africa. But more than that, you know, I've always known Mark as just a great guy. You know, he really just served us so well just during the conferences that we had with Worship Central, up until the one time I get this email, and it says it's about a release of an album. And it's Mark Cunningham. I'm like, oh, there's another one trying to sing. He thinks just because he knows people who sing, and not me, that he can sing. And then I literally picked up this album, and I was stunned, bro. I was so surprised, you know? Because I think if I had a voice like yours, I'd never serve the way that you do. Huh. You know, like you're going to get a prize. Nice. And so I must say, man, I was really just encouraged just by your heart. And I wanted people to just... you know, to just hear you. I know that I was, you know, surprised to do, and you may probably think that a lot of people know who Mark Cunningham is. As a matter of fact, when that album became available on South African iTunes, it went all the way to number one. Not in the gospel charts, but in the charts. No pressure. No pressure. Mark, do you have something? I want you to play something special for us, just, you know, as we get into this Easter topic of ours.
Thanks, Lisa.
You can go for it.
Amazing. So I loved what you said, and just about this Good Friday. And I suppose that if you're someone that does believe in what happened, it really is the day that completely changed our lives for eternity. So this is really a song that just speaks about that.
Yeah.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
This is amazing grace.
That sounds good.
This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Mark Carnahan, or Carnahan, or Conehan. It's spelled, okay, you know Mark is spelled M-A-R. This one is with a K,
okay.
So Mark, so at least that's normal. And then Carnahan, C-O-U-N-I-H-A-N.
That's it.
With an N, not an M.
Yep, N.
Yeah. With an N.
N, yeah.
With an N, Yeah. Thank you so much, bro. And I'm going to be hearing more from you later. So what do we know about Easter? We know that Jesus died, that he rose again in 3 days, and that is what we are celebrating. But where does the name come from, and are there any pagan origins to what we as Christians believe to be our most sacred holiday? We think it's probably the most sacred holiday, but it might be somebody else's sacred holiday too, who's not necessarily a Christian. But with me today, I've got Adrian Ruiz from the SA Pagan Council, who'll give us some answers from a pagan point of view. Adrian, welcome to Cliff Central.
Thank you, Luisa, and thank you to good morning to your listeners as well. Morning, Mark.
Yeah, good to have you here, man. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Now, there are some speculations that Easter, you know, it's a pagan festival. So I'm going to start right there. Is it true?
There's different views from different people in the pagan community. So yes and no. Will definitely go for yes, it is, because it's for the spring equinox.
Yeah,
that we do not celebrate at this stage. We're going into winter. That's more in the northern hemisphere. Okay. But that's a celebration of life. Basically the end of winter, the beginning of summer. That's the main thing from the pagan perspective. Then there's other quarters that will believe it's totally a Jewish Passover festival.
Yeah,
from the pagan. So they do not recognize that as that at all.
Okay.
So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Okay, cool. So are there any sort of similarities? Because, you know, we believe that Jesus died and so on and so forth. Are there any sort of similarities between that and anything that happened to like a pagan god around Easter?
Not to the gods. Remember, all the pagan festivals are centered around the seasons.
Yeah.
So the similarities, I would say, from winter, second time, death, going into life in spring. That's the similarities I can draw to it. So from that perspective, yes. But otherwise, no. God-wise, no.
Oh, is it okay? So it's not about, because obviously, you know, East being when the sun rises. I hope it's still like that this year. That hasn't changed, right?
Yeah,
so, you know, East is obviously about, you know, the rising. Because I was kind of reading some stuff and I saw that, you know, it's about the God of the sun and so on and so forth. So it's got nothing to do with that. It's just a celebration.
It's a celebration.
Okay.
Moving from winter to spring.
Awesome stuff. Now, yesterday, Adrian, I went to go get some, you know, my daughter today at school, they've got like Easter Easter celebration. So I went out. We had to make a hat into an Easter thing. I can't even remember what the actual word really is. And so when I went out, I'm obviously, you know, being a Christian, I'm looking for the cross. Give me crosses and, you know, give me some crowns of thorns, you know, and I'm going to make a sort of a shrine on her head for her. But what I found was that, you know, I didn't find any of that stuff. All I found was bunnies. There was Easter eggs, hot cross buns. Mm. So I kind of thought, okay, cool. Well, this is not necessarily biblical, but you know what? It's fun. Let's just get it. But I want to know from you. Do these have any pagan origin?
Yes. The eggs and the bunnies, especially, was a symbol of fertility and new life. So yeah. so that falls in the whole thing about winter and summer again. So people used to see the bunny as sacred, as a sign of new life beginning. Uh-huh. Same with the egg, is a very powerful symbol of new life. From the egg will hatch a chicken. So that's where those things come in. And the coloring of the eggs. In the old days, people used to give these as gifts from the equinox to say good luck. So that's where the coloring, it's just like a gift that was given.
Does that still happen today?
No, not in that sense. They've commercialized a lot. You've seen it. The bunnies, the eggs you go buy in the shops. It's commercialized.
Okay.
But the origins is there.
Okay, cool. So it actually literally was. I mean, like, do you know even when that, you know, like when that sort of started?
I can't remember exact dates, but there was a decision taken by the Roman Catholic Church way back to celebrate this with the Easter we celebrate, or the Christians celebrate, to like accommodate more people, because they found it very hard to convert the pagan to Christian, the Christian faith. So a lot of the old stuff got drawn into the Christian faith as well. And that, but that's, I think it, by speaking under correction, about 300 BC,
mm-hmm.
the Roman Catholic Church started to implement
to some of this.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I've got to actually say that, you know, Easter is not just for Christians. I think everybody sort of celebrates, you know, Easter, mm-hmm. unless those are saying that I'm not going to celebrate it, because else shops wouldn't be so, you wouldn't be able to freely sell Easter stuff. In the same way that we can't actually say that, you know, Christmas is a Christian holiday, because everybody celebrates Christmas. You know, we all get Christmas presents and so on and so forth. We all sing Christmas carols and we all have Father Christmases and so on and so forth. And these are people who are not necessarily, Christian, so to say.
Mm.
So do you celebrate Easter? Are you going to be celebrating Easter?
No. I'm in the northern or southern hemisphere. Remember, we're not celebrating. We're going into the whole autumn equinox now. So
what do you do? What do you do in your Easter? Well, how do you guys celebrate?
It's just festivals with lights, thanking for what the thanking from going from the dark to the light again. That's just basically it. It's nothing spectacular special.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, Adrian, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, for coming through. And I know that you guys have got a Facebook. You've got a Facebook page.
Yes.
ASA Pagan Council. A lot of arguments go on there.
Yes.
I'm like, what am I doing here? You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that is unfortunately one of the things.
Yeah, but you know what? I think, you know, just so we know, obviously, the history of our faith and so on and so forth. See how other people people think, you know? I've always said that, like, if you feel stable in what you believe in, you know what I mean? Then just, you know, like, just no more. So thank you so much for taking the time to really just be with us here in the Open Book.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Adrian Ruiz from the SA Pagan Council,
yes.
Telling us all the facts.
And just like to say happy Easter to my Christian friends and Christian listeners.
Thank you so much. I was just going to ask you for a message, but I thought, no. I don't know if it's going to be appropriate, you know, and so on and so forth. Thank you so much. Yeah, so I've got Mark Carnahan as well, in studio, and also Gary Rivers. They're going to be speaking also, just coming in, speaking about the truth. Yeah, stick with us here on The Open Book as we find the truth about Easter.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
It is the truth about Easter, because that's what we are celebrating at this moment. So, and speaking about, in studio with me, I have Gary Rivers. Gary, yeah. Thank you so much for making the time.
No, thank you so much.
We're going to have the whole family here soon, because I had your wife.
I know.
About a month ago. You have any kids?
Give my kids any chance.
Serious, man?
Yeah, any chance to be on radio or anything. Trust me.
And they'll go for it.
Oh, man, they're both preachers. And anytime. Just give them half an opportunity and I'll be here.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, man. So we want to know, you know, Adrian was here and was telling us about, just giving us some facts. Mm. About Easter.
Yeah.
So you're going to give us the truth.
Sure. No pressure.
No pressure. Because there is a difference. So what is the meaning of Easter, and why do we celebrate it?
Look, I mean, it's not, I think as you said to him early on in the intro to your show, that it is obviously the pivotal point of the faith, you know, for Christians.
Yeah.
And in our mind, it's actually that which makes us different from all the other religions and faiths, in a sense that we are the faith that really understands the death and resurrection of Jesus, you know. So the death and resurrection, and the fact that Christ lived again and lives again for us is key. You know, we do not worship a dead God or a God in a tomb somewhere or some artifact of a God, but our God is in fact very alive and amongst us and brings about new life for us. So Easter is critical. You know, it is.
Yeah.
And so I know we were speaking about the pagan aspect and the Easter eggs and the, you know, the bottom line is that there is always going to be these, it's the same with Christmas, really, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's for me, it's not about the holiday at all. I mean, I go home on a Friday after a Good Friday service, mortified at the death of Jesus, you know, and his death and the way he died and the reality that he died for me, and the guys brying in their homes and swimming and Oaks going on holiday and using it as a holiday weekend. I think that is, I think that's shameful, you know. Mm. I think that it's a holy day and for Christ followers. And unfortunately, we've made it about the holiday.
Yeah.
And we've lost the meaning of it. You know, you know, I have a struggle with that. And I know, you know, as I was thinking about it, it comes across actually as quite judgmental in a way. I understand that. And I could take a bit of criticism for it. But, you know, I'll speak to my friends of other faiths and they're going, man, you guys don't take this thing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just by the virtue of the fact that, you know, people see it as a, and a lot of Christians even see it as an opportunity to go away for the weekend and have a jol. I mean, it's the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, seriously, if you're a Christ follower, take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's.
I mean, I know that, like, you know, a lot of people what they start to do is that they start to plan parties for Thursday evening. You know, knowing that
100%.
You can sleep in.
100%. I'm a if you're not a Christian, I'm like, that's 100%. You know, I understand that. You know, I think that in terms of where we're going, to be honest with you. I don't even think Friday should be a holiday.
Mm.
Like, if you're a Christ follower, and we live in a multi-faith country, if you're a Christ follower, take leave. Let it cost something. You know, cost you a day's leave. Yeah. I think it's an opportunity for you to witness, because you're right on your leave form. I'm a Christian, so I'm taking the day off to celebrate or to be part of Easter. It's a holy weekend for me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, take leave.
Yeah, I mean,
so
like, because there are people of other faiths, for instance, who have their fast or their prayers on a Friday, and they have to leave work to obviously 100%. Make their way through to the mosque or anything else.
100%. So everyone is very clear on every single shop If it's a Muslim who owns a shop, they will have a sign on the door closed between 12 and 2.
And they're losing business around that time, it's their
costly,
sacrifice.
100%. And that's why sometimes, as I speak to, I speak to friends of other faith, they're going like, man, you guys don't, you expect us to take it seriously, but you don't take it seriously.
Mm.
Because it's not really about the holiday, is it? I mean, it really is about the, it's about the event. It's not about the holiday.
Yeah.
You know, the event is the, we have made it about the holiday, but in fact, it is about the, it's about the, it's the event, not the holiday. And for me, that's
Anyway,
so it's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's really important to us for Christ followers. It is a great opportunity for to celebrate our faith. It's a wonderful opportunity. We have a lot of people who come to church on Easter Sunday. Sometimes out of tradition, because you go to church on Easter Sunday. I'm okay with that. We shouldn't care why people come to church at the end of the day, even if it's out of tradition for that day.
Yeah.
You never know what God might do in that day, So we need to be as welcoming as possible. I've been to way too many churches that welcome, they'll say, the pastors them say, welcome to all our two-time visitors, Christmas and Easter. Great to see you here.
But I must say, though, because
you Christmas again. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Because then people leave going, that's why I actually don't come to church. We should embrace people who visit us.
Absolutely.
Even if it's that once.
But church is awful. Church 100%. Is awful.
Overflowing.
But then again, a lot of people are back from, let's say, a lot of people who work away, and people are home, so it's a good service.
It's
a good service to go to, and especially because we all kind of go to different churches, and so for the first time actually as a family, we're actually with our families on that day, and we're able to go to one church.
I like the tradition where the Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So first of all, some churches practice, Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter. And the idea behind Lent is this whole thing that I'm really talking about, is this preparation for Easter. So what happens is that some of the churches do the 40 days before they'll have an Ash Wednesday service, which is about death. And it's a reminder. And the whole idea of it is a reminder of a preparation, time of preparation for Easter. Now, I know people go, it's unbiblical or it's whatever, and I don't, that's another argument. The issue is this, is that the idea is not to arrive at Easter weekend, go,
yeah,
oh my word, it's Easter, quickly do a Friday morning, maybe a lot of churches don't even practice Friday morning services, and then do Sunday, and then we're on again, in this rapid world of ours that is so fast, and so we don't have any chance to breathe, any time to reflect in terms of ourselves. And so the whole Lenten period is an idea of preparing for Easter, so that by the time we get to Easter, it's not just a weekend holiday, as I said. It's not just a moment of getting there and going, oh my word, it's Easter, it's rushed upon us, it's so fast.
Mm-hmm,
so the time of Lent, if people fast or not, or preparation, spiritual preparation, because it's a meaningful event.
Yeah.
It's not something that you should just arrive upon. I mean, let me give you an example. My daughter's turning 21 in April. You have no idea of the preparation for the party, and we still have done that. There's still nothing. But the point is, there's this anticipation of of Rebecca's 21st, So there's all this planning, preparation, thinking, and all the rest of it. No one arrives at their 21st or their wedding going, hey man, it's my wedding today, let's do something. There's a time of preparation. So when it comes to Easter, the Lenten period is about a preparation for Easter, for this incredible, life-changing moment that we celebrate, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So because there are obviously a lot of symbolisms when it comes to Easter. And I'd like to just give, the listeners just an insight, an insight into this.
Sure.
For instance, how Christians celebrate the blood. Mm. Actually, when about before we got an understanding of the importance of the blood, my wife used to think that it's actually pretty disgusting, blood and the cross, and it doesn't exactly look all too good. Yeah. What is the meaning of those symbols?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Why are they so important to the Christian faith?
Sure. Well, I mean, the symbolism of the blood of Christ that he speaks about, I heard Adrian
Adrian,
talking about talking about some of the stuff in that. But for example, in that when it comes to communion and the blood of Christ, you spoke about the Passover for the Jewish people representing the Passover.
Yes,
the Passover, don't forget, was the time when the blood of the lamb was put on the door, on the houses, and that so the angel of death as it went over Egypt, and so they were celebrating the Passover because of the understanding of the blood that had to be shed of the lamb.
Yeah.
And when Jesus spoke about this blood at the Passover meal, but that he was celebrating, he was speaking about the blood of a new covenant, in other words, a new relationship. And so he was saying that unless my blood is spilt, unless I'm killed, unless blood flows, that is the size of the effect of my sacrifice, of my love for you, is I have to die. And so just as the blood of the lamb had to be shed in the past for the Passover meal, so the blood of the lamb, and Jesus called himself the lamb, had to be shed for us to be able to live. And it was a sign of a new relationship. He spoke about a new covenant or a new relationship between God and humanity. And the blood being poured, his death, was a symbol of that, of the new relationship.
Mm. And that, for the sake, that Passover was once a year, right?
That's correct.
And so there was, you know, there was sacrificing every single Easter. Yeah. But there's something about Jesus, whose blood, that's why we always speak about the power of the blood.
Yeah.
But something about this blood that saved us all and washed us off our sins once and for all.
Sure.
And not only just for that moment, or not only just for the future, but also for, you know, for the past as well. I mean, it's you know, like the power of the blood is eternal going forward.
Correct.
And eternal, you know, like eternal going back.
And don't forget, blood, in the symbolism of blood anyway, has a huge significance. So there's in Jewish custom, in African custom, the blood being shed just generally is as a symbolic. Blood symbolically is massive throughout the, you know, that's many traditions, many cultures, blood is significant. And the reason why it's so significant is because without blood in us, we can't live.
I mean, we also believe that, you know, like life is in the blood.
100%. You know, 100%.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
That's where everything is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So so the significance of, and I know people speak about, I mean, like talking about the grossness of blood and all the rest of it. And but if it wasn't for the blood that runs through us, we would not live. You know, it's so critical to us living. So the symbolism of the blood of Christ being shed for us, you know, is, I mean, just for a moment, that you can imagine the Jesus's friends sitting around having the Passover meal.
Yeah.
So, they were, you know, doing the Passover meal, the cups that they would have drank, there were four cups that they would have drank through the Passover meal, celebrating the Passover back when they released out of Egypt, out of slavery. And then it gets to the fourth cup, which is known as the cup of halal, which is where we get the word hallelujah, which is actually after you have the fourth cup, there would be praise and worship and all the rest of that. We're celebrating that, you know, after the Passover meal. So it was the fourth cup, which is known as the cup of halal.
Yeah.
So he would lift up the cup and then say the specific rites in that according to the Passover meal. And he just changes everything. He goes, instead of doing the Jewish liturgy in essence, or the Jewish prayers, he lifts up the fourth cup and they're waiting for it, gives thanks, which is what they would do to the Father, or give thanks to Yahweh, and then he changed and said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins, you know, and in that moment radicalizes the Passover, which has come to us to know as communion or the Lord's Supper or breaking of bread from that moment on.
I mean, this is awesome. Shouldn't we be celebrating Easter every single day of our lives? You know, shouldn't we forever be reminding ourselves of what Jesus did on this day instead of putting it specifically to just this, you know, to this specific time?
You see, many of us, I do agree with you, many of us want to, though. The only thing is many of us want to skip the crucifixion. So you'll find how many places, even church communities, don't celebrate Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
At all. They'll just be an Easter Sunday service because everyone just wants to get to the resurrection part. Everyone wants to be part of the, hey man, you know, this is the resurrection and all the celebration. There cannot be a resurrection without a death. There can't be life without dying first. That's the essence of our faith, isn't it? You have to die to self. Jesus kept on saying, you have to die to self, pick up my cross. You must understand, in Jesus' time, you must understand, if you were told, go and pick up a cross, You must understand that was a death sentence for you. No one ever picked up their cross, started walking, and then someone, some human rights lawyer or some constitutional court or some church group came and said, hey man, listen, yeah, actually don't worry about it. If you picked up the cross, you were dead. That's it. You're dead, gone. No one ever picked up a cross, ended up putting it down again and living. And so when Jesus says, pick up your cross, he speaks about actually go and die. Die to yourself. That is the essence of it. So we can't celebrate Sunday without going through the crucifixion first.
Yeah.
People want to bypass the crucifixion. So someone said the point. Sorry, man. Give the mic to a preacher, man. I'm gonna give you 3 points quickly, man. Someone said, I don't know who it was that said it. They said we need to live every day.
Yeah.
As if Christ, what is it? Died yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow. So every day.
Yeah.
In this, we need to live as if Christ died yesterday, rose today, and he's coming tomorrow. That's how we need to live our lives.
Yeah.
All the time in the shadow of those three things.
I guess, I guess it's every single day has got to be a day
100%.
Where we totally surrender our lives.
Correct.
You know, like surrender our thoughts.
Correct.
And invite God in, you know, to be the resurrection and you know, like in everything that we do.
I love what you're saying about living every day as if it's Easter. I love it.
Yeah.
Because I think that in essence, we call to live victorious lives because of the resurrection.
Absolutely.
In my sense. You know, but you know, some Christians, we look as if we've been sucking lemons all day. I mean, people going, man, I don't know if I want to be part of that faith, man. They look so depressed and so, you know.
And it shouldn't be like that.
100%. Seriously.
Well, it actually is not like that. So 100%. Therefore, you know, we shouldn't make it out at all to be like that. I remember, you know, like when I was outside looking in, I used to be like, yeah, those guys say, come to Christ and you'll receive freedom. And I'd be like, yo, you look like you're in jail.
Yeah, exactly. You ain't going nowhere, man.
You look like you're in jail. You know, we're going to carry on just our talk. It's funny because the hour just finishes so quickly. But I would like Mark just to give us another song. Mark, thanks so much for being here, bro.
Oh, great, thank you.
Yeah.
Mark Counahan.
So which one are you going to give to us now?
Counahan.
I was just thinking now, just this, I'm on. There we go.
Yeah.
Just... just remembering every day, and I suppose just like Easter and just like Christmas as well, you know, we've got to be so careful just to remind ourselves of the bigger picture. You know, we go to the shops and there's Easter eggs everywhere, and but I heard the most amazing story recently about John F. Kennedy in the 1960s when he cast this bigger picture vision to America, and he said, guys, the big picture is going to be, we are going to put a man on the moon. And he was telling, you know, the whole nation, we're putting a man on the moon, the big picture. And eventually John F. Kennedy and all the executives did kind of their walking tour around Cape Canaveral where the rockets were going to be launched. And he was doing a meet and greet, and they would kind of arrive at the chief engineer and say, oh, nice to meet you. So what do you do here? And he's like, well, I'm, you know, fixing and managing the rockets. And then they would arrive at the person at reception. Ah, welcome, what do you do here? And they were like, oh, you know, I'm just managing the office. And then they bumped into one of the janitors, one of the cleaners at Cape Canaveral where the rockets are being launched. And they said, oh, hi there, what are you doing here? And the janitor responded, he went, I'm helping to put a man on the moon. And it was such a wonderful response. And he was going, he understood the bigger picture, you know, he wasn't just cleaning floors. He was playing an integral part on the bigger picture, which is putting a man on the moon. And it's so important for us every day in the midst of all these other things that are going on, these, you know, Easter eggs or Christmas trees and everything, which are all beautiful and we all love them. I've got kids. I love them so much.
And they taste good too.
They taste so good, you know. But just to always go, there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. Jesus has changed our lives for eternity, which is amazing.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And so I suppose because of that, we get to be in a relationship with him, we believe.
Yeah.
That we actually can be in a relationship with him. And this is a song called Call to Live that is really a conversation between myself and God, just about, you know, wanting to live, wanting to be brave, not safe. Because it seems like in the world today, we need to be brave, not safe.
Yeah.
So this is called Call to Live. Find myself in a sticky situation, never comfortable at bay.
But I guess you made me that way. I'm pretty sure you made me that way. And faith, fear, not get low. And listen, I need you brave, not safe. Admission, you may make mistakes. You may make mistakes, but hey, I'm only human, I say. But you say, child, you have been chosen, you say. But I say, I'm feeling broken, I say. But you say, you'll carry me today. It's the call to live again. Breaking my jaw to give again. Shaping my heart to see again with eyes of faith again. Cause I find myself in a sticky situation. I'm never comfortable at bay. But I guess you made me that way. I'm pretty sure you made me that way. Faith, fear, not get low. And listen, I need you brave, not safe. Admission, you may make mistakes. You may make mistakes, but hey, I'm only human, I say. But you say, child, you have been chosen, you say. But I say, I'm feeling broken, and I say, but you say you'll carry me the way.
Oh man, I love those lyrics. I need you brave, not safe. I need you brave, not safe. You know, a lot of times when we watch movies, and just kind of speaking about myself, and you know, where the world just seems so perfect, it's some American family in Orange County, in LA, and children are running around in the streets, and the day is just so beautiful. And you know, like the one time I was actually thinking, I was like, because so many times all we want is just that sort of a life. It's like, yeah, I want to find stability. I want to be debt free, which are all good things. Mm. And then I want to just sort of go and live my life somewhere else. Mm. You know what I mean? Like where there's no crime and have my children go to school. They have great careers. And one thing I thought about, I was like, actually, no, I don't think it would be great to have that life, but that can't be the life. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I know this may freak some people out a bit, but I really feel that you know, like I'm gonna get stuff when I get to, you know, like when I get to heaven, that's when I'm gonna have the real rest, you know. But for now, it's about, you know, it's about telling people about Jesus.
It is.
There is so much more to it than the life that we're in now, and I don't care how great your life is. And how beautiful your life is. It's important that you have a purpose, and it needs to be a God purpose, you know, that's in us. Because even the times when I had everything, I know that I wasn't absolutely happy up until I had a hope. I had a mission within me. Do you know what I mean? And that obviously is to expand the, you know, like to expand the kingdom and to add my little bit. I mean, I think God is still going to do what God is going to do regardless of me. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, but our joy is being able to sort of join in those plans. And that's why, you know, like that's why we do what we do.
100%.
So we do what we do. Mark, to you, I mean, like, what does Easter mean to you?
Oh, I suppose I've mentioned it a lot, but it really is, if you believe that this is true.
Yeah.
It's changed our lives for eternity. It really has. I mean, nothing can ever be the same. But the wonderful thing about that big picture, you know, putting a man on the moon, he's done something that is just so beyond what we could imagine. But it's also wonderful how, and because of that, even in our everyday lives now, we get to experience a personal relationship with him, and we get to find that courage, that bravery, that peace, that life, that joy that can only really come from him. And I believe it can only really come from him, because I've, you know, been on both sides, and it feels like the true courage and joy and peace comes from him.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many things out there.
That's power, man. Yeah. It just always reminds me of, you know, for me, it's a coming back to earth again, mm-hmm. With a reality and the authenticity of our faith. You know, the Easter was very real.
Yeah.
The crucifixion and death of Jesus and torture was very real. His resurrection was very real. And sometimes we in the faith can get so clouded by all the gizmos and the lights and the, and sometimes, and I mm-hmm. love all of that and the fluff. Sure. But it's the reality of, it's the reality. I remember going to a church the once, and as you came out for communion, everyone was sprayed. The ushers sprayed hand sanitizer on your hands.
Yeah.
That you, as you came out of your row, and you'd sort of have this hand sanitizer, you know, to wash your hands mm-hmm. before you received communion. And I used to go like, I'm trying to imagine these like beautiful, clean, soft little hands reaching out for communion and seeing the bloody, scarred,
sure.
rough hands of bloody, you know, of Jesus. Our faith is not the sanitized, sanitized, safe faith at all. And Easter is a reminder.
Yeah,
it's about death and resurrection and the reality and the authenticity of our faith. And I love being reminded at Easter of the authenticity of it. The bottom line, the single message is this, is that God so loved the world that he sent his only son to save us.
Yeah.
That's the essence of our faith.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, John. I just thank, you know, Gary Rivers from Grace Point in Lone Hill. Great church. It's a Methodist church like no other.
Thank you so much.
You'll only know it is because I've told you, because I've told you so. Yeah. And just to you, Mark, for just coming over here. Just once again to reiterate what you said, you know, I need you safe, not brave. And that's why your album is actually called To the Brave Ones.
Brilliant.
To the Brave Ones, you know. I believe that, you know, as Jesus is, so are we in this world, you know.
Absolutely.
When he was so brave to go to the cross, that same spirit now resides in us because of his death and because of his resurrection. I thank you both, and everybody, happy Easter.
Thank you.
And we always remember the true meaning of just what Easter is. This was The Open Book with myself, Loyiso Bala, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much.
Cheers,
bye.
The Open Book on cliffcentral.com.